90.1 FM Turmoil with music from Born Against. And that was Eulogy from their first 45. With me on the phone right now is Adam from the band Born Against. How you doing tonight, Adam?
All right. How are you?
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We've got the speakerphone here. Things don't usually sound as good as they should. But that was from the first 45 you guys had out. That came out with a fanzine, I believe, right?
Yeah, it came out with Dear Jesus, number 37, our singer puts out Dear Jesus, Sam.
And it's just a fanzine covering, like, the New York, New Jersey area, I guess. And this was, like, a bonus 45. It wasn't available anywhere else, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. What's eventually going to happen is we're not going to continue to print the fanzine past 2000, which is what it's at right now. But the record's always going to be available because we have a sort of a hang-up about music becoming unavailable because things happen, like people start charging, you know, $50 for a record and stuff.
Oh, so you're against the collectors too?
Well, in some respects. I mean, I personally like to collect records, but I don't like to pay a lot of money for records. I just think it's kind of sleazy and gross, and I know for a fact that if you go to some of the sleazier record stores in New York and you're in a band and you sell them your records, they hoard like 10, 15 of them and wait till they're out of print, and then they're up on the wall for $50 a piece. So we're just trying to entirely avoid that by keeping the records in print and trying to keep the pressings looking as close to the original one as we can.
Yeah, because my gripe right now is with those like Record of the Month clubs who seem to put out these limited edition 45s from various bands. It seems just like another way to get the collectors into buying stuff that normally probably wouldn't sell.
Yeah, it's a total gimmick. I mean, like, I had a friend who worked at a record distribution company, and he said that every independent label that had releases coming out that was, you know, sort of like a major independent was putting out, like, limited edition colored vinyl type stuff. And I don't know, dare I say it's just a big trend, and It's just a gimmick to make people consume. I'm not sure that you should sort of be like forced to consume music.
Right. I agree with you there. Now, you also have out a new EP that took some time getting out. You want to explain what happened with that?
Well, a lot of that was entirely due to our inexperience. I was in Lifesplit, so we had a record out before, but when we did that, our friend Dave Stein took care of most of the technicalities of it. I mean, all I did was, like, play guitar, and that was it, and, you know, do the artwork. But when me and Sam embarked on this journey through screw-ups and technical problems, we had no idea that you had to do all these certain things to make something, camera-ready for a printer or whatever. And when we had the record mastered, the person who mastered it on 45, and it was supposed to be a 33, so it sounded terrible, and we had to send it back to the plant, but we've gotten everything straightened out now. Everybody who sent for it, I hope, has gotten theirs. I'm pretty sure of that, and I don't know. From here on in, we don't expect to have any more problems like that.
Great. Now, you're one of the few bands I've heard in the last few years that have come out with, like, a political and social stance. What do you owe that to? Because most bands today, they don't get involved as you do, and you sort of remind me of back in the early 80s when there were bands such as, like, MDC and Crucifix and bands like that.
Well, I mean, partly that could be, I mean, we listen to, like, tons of stuff like that. You won't find that much stuff on my turntable from, like, New York from the late 80s or anything. But I think it has a lot more to do with the way we were as people before we even got into punk and hardcore, which me and Sam and John and Javier, the other guys in the band, all sort of felt, you know, that things were really wrong in the world, like, way before we got into hardcore. And it was just like a medium for the way we were feeling about stuff. It wasn't like we had to be re-educated. It was just sort of something that was in along the lines of what we already felt, and it was just sort of a natural progression to become, whatever you want to say, politically outspoken or
socially conscious or like that.
Yeah.
So, well, I think that's great, because I've always admired bands who aren't afraid to take a stance and state their beliefs. So it was I just got the EP today, in fact, in the mail, and I threw it on the turntable, and I was like really impressed by it, and you know, really happy that there's still bands who aren't afraid to come out and speak out about what's going on in the world, and you know.
Well, I have a feeling that maybe there's going to be a resurgence of bands like that, because Born Against, we just went out during a winter break to California and played some shows. And there were some really cool bands out there and people who do fanzines and stuff who had the same feeling and the same ideas and were charging really low prices for shows. And just there was like, it was a totally attitude-free experience, and it was really cool. And there was bands like, there's a band Downcast out there, a band called Econochrist, a fanzine called No Answers, another band called Infest, and I don't know, they seem to embody the same like spirit that we're trying to promote or whatever. And there's bands from out here, but they're a little, it's a little sparser. I mean, like I could just say maybe like Citizens Arrest and Rorschach, you know, we're us and those guys are all from the, I don't know, clique of ABC No Rio. Right. I don't want to say clique, but
you're part of the main support group of that club.
Well, maybe we're probably the some of the best known bands from that club. I would say the people who do the most work at ABC No Rio don't get virtually any credit, like Freddie Alva and Neil Robinson and this guy Snyder. They do a lot of this guy Todd. They do a lot of stuff, like they'll just be down there for on weekdays renovating and putting in a soundboard and stuff like that. Stuff that, like, I mean, all we do is go in there and put our amps on the stage and play, and
I think that's the case in most well-run clubs, is that the people who are doing them aren't looking for, you know, recognition on their own part. They just want to get a place for the bands to play, and they get pleasure when they pull off a successful show. And most of them aren't in it for the glory. They're just in it to, you know, for themselves, I think.
No, certainly not. I think that, like, those people that I mentioned are in it because they want to present a real alternative. I mean, they want to make this. You don't want to make like alternative music just some sort of a hang tag. It's like they want to make it a reality. I mean, this guy Snyder is trying to get our records distributed totally independently in South America, and he does stuff like translate our lyrics into Spanish and Xerox them and put them in with our records. And everyone who's down there doing stuff at ABC No Rio is doing something along those lines that's so direct and grassroots that it's really personal, even if the person that you're dealing with is in like Colombia or Switzerland or something.
Right. And you guys are going to be coming out here to Stony Brook this Saturday night, in fact, to play a benefit for WUSB. You'll be playing with Bug Out Society and Voodoo Love Gods.
Uh-huh.
Have you played on the island before?
Born Against hasn't. When I was in Lifeblood, we played out on the island, but it was kind of one of the. They were both kind of a. The shows were both kind of a drag because the one was at a place called The Core. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the worst show. It wasn't the best show. But then we played another one at Sundance. And it was just like, it was like a rock concert. It was disgusting. It was like $12, $13 to get in. Bouncers, divider up by the front of the stage. And if we didn't have to make our money back for the van that we had paid for. We would have just left, but I don't know. That's something I feel really bad about. If there's anybody out there listening, I mean, I apologize that I even played that show. So
okay.
Maybe we can make it up to you on Saturday.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It's going to be a great show on Saturday. Everybody should come on down. Tickets are on sale right now, and they'll be on sale the night of the show. Show will be starting at 8 o'clock. And I want to thank you for taking the time to talk. We're going to play something from the new EP right now. It's a 5-song EP, and we've got 9 years later queued up. And if you want to do like a little explanation leading into this, we'll get into it and
take off from there. 9 years later needs to be updated because it's now 10 years later because the song was written about how it's 9, 10, 11 years down the line from the conservative political takeover of the United States, and nothing's really changed. I mean, things have only gotten worse, which I suppose is sort of a cliche, but I mean, it's never been more true. So,
okay. Adam from the band Born Against, I want to thank you for taking the time out to talk with us tonight. And if you just hold on, I'll be right with you. And we're going to hear something from the band Born Against right now. This is 9 years later from their new EP here on Turmoil.